Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I'm Deb Balico, and I'm here with Rebecca Pratt. And today we were going to talk about crying out to God with our deepest heart's desires, because the beautiful thing is we hear so many stories of the children that we serve crying out to a God that they don't even know personally. And they're just crying out to anyone saying, help me, save me. And God hears them and saves them and rescues them and then reveals that he's a God that loves them and cares for them through our program and through Orphan Relief and Rescue. So, Rebecca, do you want to take it away? There was a scripture in Matthew that reminds us of these kids crying out.
Yeah. So as I was reading in my quiet time this week, it was Matthew 20, 30 through 34. It says, two blind men were crying out, Lord, have mercy on us. O Lord, Son of David. Then the multitude warned them to be quiet, but they cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. So Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. And then there's another story that correlated with this in Luke 18:35, and it's a same type story with one man. And it says, people warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed him. And I'm just reminded that we serve this God that wants, that has compassion and wants to touch us. And wants to touch our deepest needs, and he wants us to cry out. And I loved that the crowd was trying to silence them, and they cried out all the more, have mercy on us, you
know? Yeah, their perseverance.
The perseverance. Yeah. And it so reminds me of the kids that we serve, the orphanage scenarios. I always love interviewing these kids, and one after the next, they always say they were praying that somebody would rescue them, that somebody would help them. Even though they didn't know who they were praying to, they were praying. Beautifully, God has used our organization, our lives, to be that miracle that they needed to transpire by the Safe Home Orphanage. And then in the villages, we hear the same stories. There was one girl who was sold at 13 years old to be one of 13. She was one of 13 wives. And her father had sold her for not much, and she was being abused every single day in the most horrific way. And she said every single night she would pray. And she said, I didn't know who I was praying to. She literally said that to me. I didn't know who I was praying to, but I would pray every night that I would be able to escape or be rescued. And she said after 3 months of every single day being horrifically abused, she said, I felt like I was going to die if I didn't escape or somebody rescue me. And she said, and then an idea came into her head. And I said, can you tell me that story? And she says, well, she said, all of the women were terrified to run away because this man told us all that if we would run away or leave him, that he would put a curse on us. And he was the highest ranking voodoo priest in that area. And so all the women were afraid that they were going to die. But she says, I felt like I was going to die if I stayed. And so I felt like I needed, if I didn't run away, that I would die or if somebody didn't rescue me. But she said, a plan came into my head that every day he would allow me to pick mangoes off of the tree that was had fruit right in front of their little house. And so she said that he always sent her out with somebody. She could never go out alone. And after 3 months, she never tried to escape or anything. And so after 3 months, she asked, hey, can I go out and get a mango? None of the women are available to go out with me. And since she had not tried to run away before, he thought he was safe to let her go out. So she said she didn't have her shoes on purposely because she didn't want him to think she was running away. So she went out, picked a mango, and he watched her. And as she's picking it, she's just standing under the mango tree. And then he walks back into the house. And she said she ran and ran and ran until she hit a neighboring village. And that's where she went to the social welfare office. Social welfare office says they can't get involved in domestic disputes because the, you know, her father already had exchanged money and she was 14, even though technically they could have got the police involved. But they literally said, we're not going to touch this. And they said, but there is a woman in the village right now, a white woman that you could go and she will help you. So she came to where I was the only, at that point, the only white person in that area. And she waited until we were documenting. We were taking pictures of the new kids we have intercepted from being sold. And I saw her standing there for a couple hours waiting. And so my staff came over to me and said, that girl wants to talk to you. She's been waiting a long time to talk to you. So when I went over, she told her story. And we ended up able to get her into a safe place in hiding until a court date could happen for her situation. And she was rescued. But her story, she literally said, every single night I prayed and I asked, she didn't say the word God. She used some other term, some similar to like our higher power. But she said, I prayed every single night that I would be rescued or be able to run away. And she says, and then that idea came to me and I was able to escape. And literally, she doesn't realize that she was crying for mercy from the Lord. Have mercy on me. Save me. And God had compassion on her. And then the likelihood of me just being in the village, the neighboring village that she ran to, social welfare office directing her to me, and then, you know, her able to be rescued. And then we facilitated a court date through our staff.
Wasn't she then able to be put in a foster care situation and went through an apprenticeship?
Yeah. And today she's married to a man that she says is good to her. So, you know, we don't, it's not the same situation that it was before. But yeah, God had mercy on her. That's the God that we serve. That's the God of compassion. And she did commit her life to the Lord. It was beautiful because our staff really introduced her to this God who loves her and who is the one that actually facilitated her to be saved and is actually the one that she was praying to that she didn't even realize she was praying to. But I love that we serve this God that we can come to and we can ask him for the things that we need, and God hears us, and he doesn't necessarily answer it maybe the way that we want him to answer it, but he is going to answer it. And I personally have been challenged to literally, I felt like, you know, in reading this, I felt like the Lord was like, in the scripture, this verse where Jesus, it says, you know, when they said, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David, it says, so Jesus stood still and called to them and said, what do you want me to do for you? And I felt like the Lord literally was asking me, Rebecca, what do you want me to do for you? What do you need me to do for you? And I took that as, oh, let me get my list. I'm going to get my list right now. And I literally started saying, Lord, this is what I need from you. And I started just going through the things that I desperately want to see people come to Jesus, be set free, and some healing stuff in my own family and some different things and restoration, you know, personally. And then I venture out to with Orphan Relief and Rescue. I want to see this for my staff. I want to see this for, you know, our donors, people who are giving to this organization. I want to see different things that they've given me, you know, different requests that they're going through. And the kids and the families that we serve. And I just started literally asking one by one because I felt like the Lord gave me permission to, you know, in a bigger way. I've always been praying. Like this has been my prayer list that I have. And so I do pray on a regular basis. But I felt like the Lord was literally giving me the scripture and saying, I'm standing still for you right now. And I loved where he says, so Jesus stood still and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? Then they said to him, Lord, our eyes, that our eyes may be opened. So then Jesus had compassion and he touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. And I loved where they said, and Jesus had compassion, because that's what Jesus does with us. He has compassion. And so, yeah, I'm just challenged in a new way to pray with a little more fervency, with a little more directness. I feel like the Lord can handle my woes, honestly, because sometimes it's just like, oh, I'm so tired of such and such. And the Lord's like, it's okay. I got it, you know? And it truly is the Spirit of the Lord that is going to come in and do the work in all of the situations that seem bigger than what, well, they are bigger than what we can personally handle. But not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord, these mountains will be removed, as we shared on our last podcast. And that is what he is going to do, because that's the God that we serve. And that's what we're seeing on a regular basis.
But you also, too, you have a trust in God. Like, so God asked you, similar to he asked the men, and, you know, Jesus asked the men in the chapter in Matthew, what do you want me to do for you? And the men were like, well, I want to see, you know, and I trust that you can heal me. To our listeners out there, if God said to you, what do you want me to do for you? And you had your own list. Do you trust God with your list? Those things that you've been crying out that break your heart, do you truly surrender and trust God with those items? And if you don't, ask God to help you in your doubt, you know, in your unbelief, in the ways that you don't trust him. Ask him to transform your heart.
Yeah, the story that comes to mind that kind of was my biggest thing for one of the children in the orphanage safe home, where she had watched her parents be murdered in front of her, and she was having nightmares every night. And I was like, I don't even know what to say to her. I don't know how to, you know, yes, I can pray for her, but do I really believe God's going to take these nightmares away of her witnessing these horrific things that she's witnessed, of watching literally, her parents be killed? So the Lord really challenged me to challenge this girl to replace her nightmare really with him holding her and loving her, and her mother telling her how much she loves her and how proud she is of her, and to replace those nightmares with those thoughts. And I generically just was telling this girl, this is what I want you to do. I want you to replace this, and I want you to pray to him and give these nightmares to the Lord and ask him to show you how much he loves you and replace those thoughts. I come back a few months later and I ask her how she's doing. And she's like, well, I don't have nightmares anymore. I says, what? And you don't have nightmares anymore? How? Why? I mean, how does this happen? She says, I just do what you told me to do and it works. And I was like, it did? Now, why should I be so shocked that it worked? This is the God that we serve. This is the, what do you need me to do for you? And then I'm going to have compassion on you and I'm going to do it. And I'm generically telling this girl, this is what you need to do. Not really believing in my heart that this could actually come to pass, because I don't even know how to deal with something so, you know, atrocious of a scenario. And yet, this is the God we serve. This is the Spirit part of God coming in and literally saying, what do you need from me? You know, I did pray for this little girl as well, prayed that she wouldn't have nightmares anymore, hoping, praying that God would answer this prayer for her, because I can't imagine her having to relive that over and over at night. And then God comes in with his compassion and he touches them. I love how it says, and immediately he says, so Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes. And immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. And so this girl, Jesus touched her. He had compassion on her. She immediately, she says, she just does what she was told to do. And it works. And that's where the Spirit of the Lord comes in. And he's given permission to replace those memories with him loving her and her mother giving her affirmation of how much she loves her. And it works. And I go away and I go, wow, this is the God we serve. Should I be shocked?
Yeah.
Should I be? I shouldn't be, but I am. Yeah, it's beautiful.
But it builds your faith. I mean, it builds your faith hearing that story and hearing how God answered her heart cry and your prayer, something that you didn't think would work. So it builds your trust. So what about people who have their list, you know, and it pains them, like they have been crying out to God for years. And so it's built up even almost fear. I am afraid. What if God says no? You know, I'm afraid of the choices, the free will and the choices that this child that I'm praying for or this person in my life that, you know, I've longed for years for them to find freedom and they haven't. So, and it pains you and it brings fear and it brings a burden and you want to trust God with it, but you just, he's not quite answering it the way that you want him to. And so you kind of pick it back up and want control over it again because you think, I have to fix it. So what do you say to someone who's experiencing that?
Yeah, I mean, I am the one who can speak into that because I, in my list, I have a lot of those things that I'm like, oh, Lord, why? Why haven't you answered this one or, you know, whatever. But I loved the part in Luke 18, and it was verse 39 where he says, this is where the one man needed to a touch from Jesus. It says people warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then, of course, Jesus said again, what do you want me to do for you? And he said that I may receive sight. But I loved how he just cried out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And I think a lot of times we need to do that. Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on this situation. Have mercy on this little girl that is having these nightmares because she saw something so horrible. Have mercy on me because I have to walk through something really difficult. Have mercy. And just really plead with the Lord to have mercy on us.
And our loved ones.
And our loved ones. Yeah. And it's the cry of our heart that the Lord sees. And in his timing, this is the surrender part that I've had to learn, still learning, is to surrender that God knows best. His timing is perfect. He knows what he's doing. And he also has given man free will. And so there are free will things that happen that we'd have no control over. And yet, like you said, God is trustworthy. We know that God is trustworthy. And I have to remind myself not to walk in fear of the future, not to walk in fear of the what ifs, but to completely surrender and have full trust in the Lord and say out loud, I trust you, Lord. I trust you with this situation. I trust you with this person. I trust you with my circumstances. I trust you with my future. And to say those things out loud literally shifts my thinking, shifts my way of negativity. I can walk in freedom.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And it builds that foundation of trust, you know, and surrender. And like we talked about in our last podcast, where our time on this earth is just like a dot, you know, eternity is huge and massive. And our time here is so short. And we will one day be outside of time, you know, with God. And so God is already outside of time. And he sees the beginning and the end. And so do we trust him with our list, with these things that grieve us, that his timing is perfect and that he is faithful, even when we're not, and that he is a good father who wants to hear our heart cries and even wants to answer our heart cries by providing someone else in our life. You know, like Orphan Relief and Rescue is an answer to these children's heart cries. They are crying out to God, and God is using Orphan Relief and Rescue to answer their prayers. And it is amazing that he wants to use us to answer someone else's heart cry. So are we willing? Are we listening? And when he prompts our hearts, we need to respond in faith. And it will grow our faith and build our faith.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us this week. And if you ever have questions, Feel free to reach out to us. You can email us at info@orphanreliefandrescue.org. Or if you want to partner in our work, please go visit us at orphanreliefandrescue.org and learn more about the ways that God is answering these children's prayers and providing for them. So thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.